Blog Talk Radio.
The 2015 CONCACAF Gold Cup Post Game Show. Good evening, everyone, and welcome back once again to the CONCACAF postgame show here on the Feuerstein's Fire American Soccer Show. I'm your host, Daniel Feuerstein. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, you were probably scared to see another pitiful performance by the U.S. national team, even though they got the result 1-0 over a very athletic and a very scary Haiti. The United States, they do punch their ticket to the quarterfinals on Saturday, and with the earlier draw in this game today, the truth of the matter is this, they will also be available to win the group. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Problems somewhat averted. Joining me at the moment right now is Jake Dudinsky, waiting for Carter Kushner to join in. And Jake, let's be honest. Personally, I thought that once again it was another terrible first half for the United States. I thought once Jossie Zardes was subbed in, he already paid dividends for Jurgen Klinsmann. They got the goal, Clint Dempsey, his third in this tournament. But still, once again, it's just I thought they played a better second half, Jake, but the truth of the matter is we're still not at ease with this performance.
It was downright atrocious. Here's you know, let's just be blunt about this. The first half was horrendous. I mean, godly awful horrendous. We'll talk about a few things in that in a moment. The first 15 minutes of the second half was great. And then that last second half bit was horrible. It was, you know, we really shouldn't beat Haiti 1-0. This is a game that we really should have won by a lot more. And honestly, I think this is another situation where the U.S. is lucky to have gotten 3 points, because I think if Haiti could just shoot the ball better, they would have won.
Yeah. I mean, you know, this is a situation where this is where I think, you know, you got to give credit to Haiti, first of all. Give them credit. They played hard for 90 minutes once again. They did very, very well to play against the United States. They did frustrate them. Obviously, they were playing for the counter. Six defenders in the match tracker on CONCACAF's website for Haiti. And you know what? They did frustrate them to no end. They frustrated them, even though the USA did get their goal. But once again, the situation is this. And you are correct, Jake. Haiti should have been down more than just a goal. The United States should have done a lot better against Haiti, and unfortunately, I had to take a substitution to pull Altidore out of the match at the start of the second half, and then here you are with the only one goal in this match, and that would be the end of that. You've got Kartik Krishnayar joining us from World Soccer Talk. And Kartik, how did you feel overall with this match? I know the first half was terrible. I thought second half was a lot better for the U.S., but still, there you can still see some problems somewhat.
Yeah, the U.S. is the overriding problem right now for the U.S. Well, there's several, but I think the real overriding problem is how susceptible the U.S. is on the counterattack. And you had some real poor finishing from Honduras and Haiti in these two games. Although, I mean, one of the things today, I think, surfaced in Foxborough was really, really poor. The grass on top of the turf. So maybe some of Haiti's errant shots were kind of grasshops or kind of poor grass over turf hops. But just the tightness, the giving away possession in the midfield, which leads to counterattacks, is a continued problem. I think, obviously, Zardes, as you mentioned, he came on. He really injected some life into the U.S. team. But there are a lot of question marks going forward about this U.S. team. That's just not, there's something that's not right. There's a real kind of lack of intensity at times. There's a lack of composure on the ball at times. There's some bad giveaways, bad man marking, bad stupid fouls, not kind of understanding situation and circumstance in some areas. So there's a lot that has to be improved on. Panama's not having a particularly good tournament either. So I expect the U.S. to get something from that game. The U.S., I guess the U.S. would have already won the group, right? Because
they've already won the – yep, they've already won the group.
Yeah, so – right. So that game doesn't really – it doesn't really matter. And we'll see how that plays out because, obviously, what could happen is you could see – Jurgen either experimenting with guys or taking the chance to rest Michael Bradley and Clint Dempsey, get them ready for the quarterfinals. There's some competition in this event, and we're gonna have to get better if we're gonna get past the quarterfinals or the semifinals this time, quite frankly.
Yeah, I agree with you there, Kardik. I absolutely agree with you. I mean, I think like we've already mentioned many times, this confederation has improved. The talent seems to have been improving. Even though, Jake, maybe the quality of the finishing wasn't there for Haiti, I think we have to be honest that the Haitians are proving to be improve, and they have played, I would say, a lot better overall for the full 90 minutes, even though they didn't score. And Brad Guzan did well. I still felt that Haiti did a very, very good job. And unfortunately, they did not deserve this result to be on the losing end.
To answer that, I want to answer that in a moment. But first off, let me just say, we may actually be able to win the Gold Cup playing like this. And here's why. here, Costa Rica seems to be having the same problem we are. And Mexico hasn't had an actual match that proves how good they are yet. Just let that sink in for a moment. We may actually win the Gold Cup playing this badly. And it's, I don't know whether it's a knock on CONCACAF, but the fact of the matter is, we just advanced to the groups to the knockout round without actually having played a good game. And more importantly, is that our biggest competition, potentially, which would most likely be Costa Rica or Mexico, actually played well either.
Mhm. That's very true.
So,
again, Mexico is in a group with Cuba and the only
right.
and Guatemala, and the only real competition at the moment until they take on the Soca Warriors, of course, is Trinidad and Tobago, Jake. And you just got to say that with that situation, you know, up for grabs, and it looks like Trinidad and Tobago will probably get out of that group easily. You wonder who the third-place finishers are going to be.
Well, my concern at this point is seeing Costa Rica having gotten the draw of Jamaica, there is a very possible chance that they may be a third-place finisher and we may draw them in the first round.
In the quarters.
Well, yeah. And is it quarters already right off the bat?
Yeah, there's no second round.
It's been a long day, Dan. this game is just messing with me so much. But to answer your question about Haiti, yeah, all the props in the world to them. I mean, them and Honduras both outplayed us. Like there is no way to put it. They outplayed us. That being said, honestly, you can make the argument that the first U.S. goal that was disallowed probably should have been allowed to stand. Did you guys see that, the one with Josie out the door?
Yes.
What were your guys' thoughts on that? I'm pretty sure that he was onside, it looked like, in the replay.
To be honest with you, I thought he was on, but Kardik probably saw it better than I did. Go ahead, Kardik. What's your opinion about that one?
I think it was close. It was on. I think it was the wrong call. But, look, I mean, this game was actually worse than the previous game because – we weren't even getting shots. I mean, we weren't even getting into the area until that point. I mean, at one point, Haiti had outshot us 5-0. I think at halftime. It was 10 shots to 5. Most of them were off target, obviously, for both teams. But it was just horrendous. Let me say one quick thing about Haiti, though, before we move on. The Haitian team, a lot of these players, a good chunk of these players were reared in our college system in the U.S. and in our lower divisions, in USL and in NASL. And about half the guys who played today were had some tie to either U.S. colleges or U.S. lower divisions, or maybe a little over half the guys who played today, including a few that are still in our lower divisions, including James Marceline, who I watched for Lauderdale. So, I kind of view beating Haiti a little differently than the Honduras game. I was just furious how we played against Haiti. And I know a lot of the guys, I've seen them play. I take some pride in their performance because they grew up in our system. So, never like to see our national team struggle, but I am proud of that. Look, we're developing players from this whole region between MLS, NASL, and USL, and the college game in this country. That's something to be very proud of.
Right, and Dan, if I can jump in here really quickly, if it's okay with you.
Yep, go ahead. That's fine.
I think that it is great. It's kind of like a double-edged sword when you think about it. It is great that our leagues and our systems and our colleges are allowing the Confederation to get better as a whole, and that's great. That goes to show how far U.S. soccer really has come to the point where now people that are here, regardless of what country they play for, you know, you can see the effects of playing in this country. That being said, this game, I think we actually went backwards, like Cardiff said. We were horrendous. I mean, and it's not just that we were horrendous. Haiti legitimately outplayed us. I mean, that first half. It seems to me the strategy against the U.S., and I'm pretty sure we're going to be seeing this pretty much for the rest of the tournament, is to park the bus and counter. That's how you beat the U.S. You park the bus and counter.
Well, all I can say is, gentlemen, is that for the U.S., and just to, let me make a mention real quick about the whole college. Look, listen, Jake, we can't worry about what the NCAA has to do when you have these players going to get an education and playing the game at the same time. And let's not forget, gentlemen, they don't play a full season like the professionals do. They play a couple of months out of the year. Obviously, if they get lucky to qualify out of their conference tournaments, they go and play in the NCAA soccer four, the final four for the men's soccer and everything. And unfortunately, you know, you got to hope to continue on. And, I mean, look, Jordan Morris, I mean, obviously he's done well, and he's proving that the college system probably is already starting to improve and everything to help with the national team. And right now, I think Jordan Morris is now the example of that. But once again, there's nothing you can do about this. I mean, this is out of U.S. soccer's hands, unless the NCAA will talk with U.S. soccer and start telling them that you cannot, you know, which is never going to happen, first of all. But if you're going to tell these colleges not to accept foreign players for your men's teams, you know, that's just not going to happen. I mean, there's nothing you can do about it. And the only way, just like, you know, in Cardiff, like in the EPL, you know, how many Englishmen are not playing in the Premier League anymore? Seriously. I mean, if it's not a player from Spain, it's a player from Germany. If it's not a player from Germany, it's a player from Italy. It's a player from, you know, the outside of England and the rest of the United Kingdom. They're allowing Americans to come in, Norwegians, Swedes, Finns, Danish. I mean, you know.
No, but Dan, that's a good thing. We're saying it's a good thing.
Whoop, did we lose Jake? Are you
no,
there?
We're saying it's a good thing. We're saying that this is a good thing.
Oh, okay.
Because it's allowing the Confederation. I hopefully what I was saying. I can't speak for credit. What I was saying is it's a good thing, because it's a lot of people from around the Confederation that normally wouldn't have the opportunity in their native country to necessarily learn and play, to come to the U.S., play in the leagues, play on better surfaces and get better, which as a whole is improving CONCACAF.
Right. And that's good. And that's what I was trying to say
as
well.
And that's good.
I think Yeah, no, that's very good because now we're seeing the competition is improving. And you know what? Good job at the same time. You know, look, like I said before, guys, you know, Haiti, I mean, they just absolutely had a better first half than the U.S. The U.S. had a better second half. But still, Haiti competed. And that's what you want to see from within this confederation at the same time. You know, I was looking through Twitter, Kardik, and George DeMatteis from BN Sports was saying someone called in some local radio station to say the U.S. has to score 5 or 6 goals in this game against Haiti, which, of course, no one's watching what they've been doing. And Haiti actually, you know, give them credit, they only allowed one.
on a goal, by the way, that was pretty impressive in its own right.
Right, absolutely. Did we lose Kardik all of a sudden? Oh, we must have lost him, but now we got him back. So there he is. I'm sorry, Kardik. I didn't punch you in. I didn't know we lost you. Sorry about that. But go ahead, Kardik. You know, just like we're saying, Haiti was just doing fantastic work out there.
Yeah, I completely agree with Jake's thought process on CONCACAF and improving CONCACAF to all these guys in our system. And that's a good thing because that only improves the U.S. It makes us improve our level as well. Haiti was really good in the first half. I thought in the second half, after our impressive goal, and we had a nice spell of play for a while, they really kind of put us to the sword again. It's something which is hopefully a teaching moment for Jurgen because if you look at what might happen going forward, as Jake mentioned, we might get Costa Rica in the round of eight or in the quarterfinals. We might also get Jamaica. I mean, either game is going to be very difficult if we get one of those two teams. I mean, the thought was that we would get some other team out of that group. We would get El Salvador or Canada. Now, if we get one of those, it should be pretty straightforward, right? If they one of those finish third, and they're one of the better third-place teams. But if Jamaica or Costa Rica, it's going to be very difficult. We're going to have to improve our level of performance. We have had struggles in the group stage of the Gold Cup before. I mean, this is not the first time, but this is the first time we've looked this bad, I have to say. I mean, we lost to Panama a couple of years ago in Tampa. We had a game against Guatemala, I remember, at the Home Depot Center, where we really struggled in 2007 or 2005. I can't remember which year that was, but I don't remember us looking this bad for two consecutive games ever in our Gold Cup history. And, of course, the 1 year we lost early in the Gold Cup, the 1 year we lost before the only times we've lost before the finals have generally been to guest countries when we allowed South American teams to play, Colombia, Brazil, when they were allowed in the competition. We have never lost to a CONCACAF country. We've never been eliminated by a CONCACAF country before the finals. And, obviously, it's always been Mexico. We played Panama twice in the finals and beaten them, albeit once on penalties. But and beat Costa Rica once in the final. I think this could be a low watermark, or we might win this tournament. Because as Jake says, nobody is playing real well. The only really good performance I've seen from a team in this Gold Cup has been from Trinidad and Tobago. I thought they played very well against Guatemala. I was impressed by them. But other than them, I haven't been really impressed by anybody. Haiti has shown a lot of raw talent, but a poor finishing touch in front of goal. I'm assuming we'll see more from Jamaica and Costa Rica when they don't have to play one another. Obviously, that was a kind of a titanic battle in the first game. But really, no one's impressed me. The U.S. has not been substantially worse than the other teams, other than Trinidad, who we just don't expect to be there. But I have to say, this is a little frustrating for Canada, is to see Trinidad play this well under Stephen Hart. They played pretty well in the last Gold Cup under Stephen Hart. They played well in Caribbean competitions. He was, I think, the best coach Canada has had in the last 15 years. And he didn't get them where they wanted in World Cup qualifying. They never get where they want in World Cup qualifying, and they fired him. And I know a lot of our Canadian soccer friends, like the Stephen Sandors and others, Dwayne Rollins, felt like, well, if we weren't going to win under Stephen Hart, we weren't going to win under any other manager. And we've seen Canada go backwards since he got fired, and we've seen him go to Trinidad, take the Trinidadian team that was couldn't even qualify for the Gold Cup, had missed two straight Gold Cups prior to that, and get them pretty far in the last Gold Cup and This Gold Cup right now, they look like the best team. Obviously, they're not going to win it, but he's done a great job with them. So I just wanted to point that out and rub a little salt in the wounds to our Canadian friends.
Absolutely.
Well, Kardec, again,
we can't forget them.
I had a
Go ahead, Jake.
For the two of you. My question for the two of you is, you mentioned that the worst we probably performed. It may not just be that. I think this is the worst we have performed when the expectations for our team have been so high.
That's very true. That's very true. I've never seen before you say that, Jake, let me just say this. I've never seen expectations come so high for this U.S. men's team, because we're seeing some great talented players playing, and they're just not performing at the level that they have been, except for Zardes, who just came off the bench. As they were saying on the broadcast, Josie's still recovering from the hamstring issue he got in Brazil in the Ghana win early in the first half. So, I mean, is Josie still back at being Josie, or is he still struggling a little bit? We don't know. But I'll say this, Kardec, if you want to answer as well that question, I just think the U.S. right now, they are lucky that they're surviving very, very graciously as they get another result. But once again, the performance is questionable.
Yeah, the performance is highly questionable. I think there's a lot wrong with this team right now, if I'm honest with you. And again, it's a couple things. I mean, maybe there are fixes. Maybe this competition is really tough because everybody's playing up to your level. Look, Honduras has been really bad for the last year. So that's the performance against Honduras is kind of disturbing. I mean, I think Haiti showed us a lot in that first game against Panama. Still kind of caught us by surprise. But, two consecutive bad performances in the group stage of the Gold Cup. I don't know that I've seen that from the U.S. Like I said, the game in 2007 against Guatemala at the Home Depot Center was really touch and go and was a rough game. We also had a guy sent off in that game. We had Gooch sent off pretty early on. So we won, don't we? Had to hang on. And then the Panama game, which I was at actually was at that Guatemala game too. So both games that I was at, 2011 was the Panama game in Tampa, which we got beat in. We then played Panama again in the semifinals and beat them. Tournament. Freddie Adu had to come off the bench, if you guys remember, to spark us to God, in that
please
game.
Don't ever mention his name again.
By the way, guess where he's going back? Guess who he's going back to? Thomas Rongan and Tampa Bay Rowdies in the NASL. Kardec, you're going to have fun with
that
one.
That's not confirmed yet. That hasn't been confirmed yet.
Oh, it hasn't been confirmed yet? Can we say it's been confirmed anyway?
No, I don't know. I mean, I might actually... with Thomas. I might ask him. He'd love to have Freddie back, but I don't know that Freddie would actually start for that team. That's where his career is at, right? He won't start for a second division team in the U.S. I mean, he's just not.
And he's
just
still
not there
young,
anymore.
Isn't he?
Yeah, he's still 26.
He just turned
26.
If you want to talk about heartbreaking stories, I mean, this. I don't know if you can fall much further for him. Like, I feel like I honestly I don't even know what to say about him anymore.
In that Mexico final in 2011, Jake, I think he was probably still our best player, or maybe he was the second best player behind Landon, and then he never played for the national team again after that.
Yeah,
that's what I think hurt him. I think that dismissal, what ultimately led to his career fall.
Yeah. Yeah, with Bradley getting fired and Klinsmann coming in, and Klinsmann had no interest in him. And Bradley had kind of almost rode him to saving his job, right? Bradley had brought him into the Gold Cup. People thought, why are you bringing Freddie back? And then Freddie had a great Gold Cup and almost got us through it. And Bradley got fired after that game, remember? And not only Bradley gets fired, we haven't seen Freddie Adu or Jonathan Bornstein, either guy back on the national team since.
Yep. And
you
let's
know,
not forget
I
that
really
great first half by Bornstein.
With towards him, given my fandom, so I'm gonna leave this to you guys. But just know that my feelings for him are mixed.
Well, you know, he was supposed to be that great player back in the days for DC United and the national team. And
he was when he was here. I mean, that's the problem.
Of course, but there was a problem.
Yeah, one other thing I want to point out from tonight's game that we haven't discussed is Mitch Diskerud. He's a player that's very frustrating, that doesn't keep himself positionally in the right place. He's a player that I've noticed this for years, that he's really good, he's really technical, but his tactical awareness and his positioning sense, and just like his clumsiness, is beyond belief. It's not where an international footballer should be. And
I agree
saw it again tonight. I mean,
I agree with you.
Yeah, yeah. And we saw mistake after mistake from Diskerud tonight. Now, when Diskerud gets into space and he's on the ball and he's feeling it, he's really good. But he just – and this is something that's going to be very interesting at NYCFC, because he's going to be in a midfield with Frank Lampard and Andrea Pirlo. I don't know what Jason Christ is going to do with Diskerud if he's crowding the space – because again, he has no tactical discipline. If he's crowding the space where Pirlo is, and Lampard is very good at finding space and making late runs. He made his career on that, being kind of like the guy that was in the right spot at the right time. So I mean, hopefully, maybe that playing with those two guys will force Diskerud to show some discipline and also value possession, because he gives the ball away constantly. He did that again tonight. I mean, James Marcelino, who I mentioned earlier, for the Four Loyal Strikers, I think dispossessed Diskerud twice in the first 10 minutes. Just took the ball away from him. Just flat out took the ball away from him without fouling.
Absolutely, Kardik. And that's the one problem that I think even a New York City FC fan would have an issue with Diskerud. I mean, he's great on the ball, but as you said as well, tactically, he looks lost. I wouldn't say he looks lazy. I'll disagree. I would never say that. But he looks like deer in the headlights lost when he's in the middle of the park.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think he has a lot of growing up to do as a player. And I have to say, I think we probably won this game today, honestly, because Brad Evans was starting in front of Timothy Chandler. Had Chandler started, I think Haiti gets a goal, honestly, with the amount of chances they had.
Absolutely. I think Haiti would have gotten the 3 points.
I think Haiti gets multiple
Chandler
goals.
Yeah, that's true.
Because it was actually Evans was the one defender who played well. They probably scored twice and they win.
Let's be realistic here, guys. Played well.
Really quickly to touch on Mitch Diskerud, my piece about him is that with him, he's really hit or miss. There are games when he is just phenomenal, both tactically and technically.
Yeah.
And then there are games where you're sitting here like, what the hell are you doing? Like, that you are questioning how he's on the national team.
Yeah,
for example,
that game against Germany,
he was flawless. That game against Germany, he was flawless. And then you look at him in the Gold Cup, and he was horrible. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Right, and he was there were a couple national team games in the past where he's been just awful and out of position. But that Germany game, he was brilliant. I remember there was a game against Russia a couple of years ago, a friendly, where he was just right in the right spot at the right time. I think he came out in the second half of that game. The game in Russia, where he played very well and the team in general didn't play well. So he has it at times. You're right, Jake. I mean, he's kind of just hit or miss, and today he was definitely a miss. And Brad Evans was a hit because – I will say that. I will reiterate that. If Timothy Chandler plays today, Haiti, at a minimum, gets a draw, and Jake says they probably win. You're right. They probably win. They hit two goals because they were coming down the right side as much as they were coming down the left side, and they were much more effective in creating chances on the left side than Greg Garza's side because Evans made a couple last-ditch clearances too, come to think of it.
Yep.
I mean, he was really good tonight.
Yeah, he really did. But I just want to say this, though. I thought Tim Ream actually had a very good game for the national team. I thought he made some very solid plays defensively. Obviously, maybe he's still a little bit slow trying to track back with some of those attacks from the Haitian attackers. But I thought Tim Ream had a decent match tonight. Not great, but I thought he was decent.
The thing about Ream that's interesting, for some reason Jurgen doesn't like him. Because Ream is one of the few American players that's been successful in England recently. I mean, he's been the best player on Bolton's defense for about 3 years running now. since he went there, actually. And they obviously they've been relegated. They're in the championship now. But he has been a solid, solid player for them. And yet you see Jurgen picking everybody else, you know, whether they're in MLS or Mexico or the second divisions, all other second divisions in Europe, other championship players. And really took him a while to bring Tim Ream back to the national team, which to me was quite surprising. But, yeah, I don't think he was great tonight. But I think he
certainly, of
the two central defenders, was the better one. I mean, Omar Gonzalez had another bad game. I don't know why Omar Gonzalez just hasn't gotten to that level we thought he was going to get to. Is it the injuries?
Probably the injuries. I would say the injuries.
Yeah,
I definitely would say the injuries.
It's got to be the injuries. I mean,
it has to be because there's no way. I mean, there's no way, you know. I mean, the Galaxy keeps him, and then, you know, I mean, he's playing well on the back line for the Galaxy, but at the same time, you know, it has to be the injuries because, you know, if he's going to make a big move, if he ever wants to make that big move, I remember that qualifier against Mexico, or the scoreless draw at the Azteca, and Jorge Ramos from ESPN Deportes Radio said, you know, clubs in Mexico are looking at Omar Gonzalez. They wanted to bring him over. Now, because of these injuries, that probably he's not going to go over. He's going to stay in MLS. So, I mean, I don't know if that's what he really wants, but the truth is.
And they've had to change the rules of the league so that they can accommodate the Galaxy, keeping him and getting here.
Don't get me started on that, please.
Yeah.
Please
bring over
Giovanni.
You know, they didn't do it for Seattle when they had an additional DP.
I'm telling you, for the sake of this show, please do not get me started on that. Because we ask Dan. Dan knows. You don't want to open that can of worms.
Oh, I do.
I think we're all in the same place on that one, actually.
I mean, you know, I was on a local podcast called the Red Bull Rant, obviously with Red Bull fans doing it from Winter Metro. And let me just say this: listen, instead of making up stupid rules to advance how much money you're going to pay for another DP position, or as they say, a core player or whatever, just raise the salary cap, would you please? Is it that so difficult to just raise the salary cap so these teams can spend on a somewhat poor DP?
It absolutely is, because we're dealing with MLS, which, you know, can't get its head out of its ass long enough to figure out that maybe, just maybe, we shouldn't have four teams with the same color scheme and the same name. But, you know, MLS, because who cares, right? I mean, it's not like we're actually trying to market to America or anything.
Yeah, exactly. You have any final thoughts? I know you get going, Kardik, but you have any final thoughts about this match?
Yeah, I thought the U.S. was very poor, and Haiti deserved a draw, maybe deserved all 3 points. But Zardes changed the game. He was the difference maker in the second half for the U.S., important substitution to bring him on for Jozy Altidore that was struggling. U.S. is susceptible in the counterattack. And if the U.S. plays like this against Jamaica or Costa Rica or Mexico, we will lose. Full stop. There's no question about that. This was a regression from the Honduras game. Although I think Haiti played better than Honduras did, so give Haiti some credit for that. But really, we're struggling right now.
Yeah, we really are. All right, Kardik, I'll talk to you on Monday. Hopefully
on Monday
we'll
night,
have
yeah, after the game.
Monday night, and maybe Monday afternoon as well. I'll let you know. I'll let you know about Monday afternoon as well. But
thank you again, Kardik. Good job, Jake. Good job, Daniel.
Thank you.
And we still have Jake Dudinsky with us here to finish off the show. And Jake, you know, as always, you know, games at Gillette Stadium, when you're playing a doubleheader, whether it's a group stage match or a quarterfinal match or even a semifinal match, I just, you know, laying real grass over field turf, it just does not work. And that, look, I'm not saying the people in Boston or the people in the Boston area does not deserve a Gold Cup game at all, but the truth of the matter is that the Patriots and Robert Kraft need to take out that field turf and they need to put in real grass once again. And, you know, you saw it right there. I mean, they had to get the lawnmowers out to even it out again. It was all chewed up from the first match between Honduras and Panama. And I thought, you know, besides the performance of the U.S., and they had to overwater the grass to make sure that the ball would be playing a little more faster than normal, I just thought that was a mistake. And like I said, I'm not saying everyone in Boston doesn't deserve to watch the Gold Cup of the U.S. That's not true. But still, I think if we're going to have Gold Cup games in Boston again, I would just have
to say it. It needs to be natural grass. And you can just say it. It needs to be natural grass.
It has to be because, you know, it was just terrible to see how that ball was going too fast because it had to be overwatered, evened out everywhere. And you can see the seams of each rectangular square out there.
And you know what, Dan? It's not fair to the fans either. You know, you're dropping money for this match, and you're not even seeing a full-quality match because the field is so bad.
Yeah.
Honestly,
absolutely.
I feel like if I was a fan in New England, I'm not necessarily sure I would pay to go to the Gold Cup unless it was guaranteed that the grass problem would be fixed. Because this was just horrendous to watch. It really was.
It really was, and it's really a shame because, you know, you want to see a great match between Haiti and the U.S. Haiti was really giving the USA a damn good game. And while, like I said before, you know, we're not trying to diminish the performance that Haiti gave the U.S., and let's be honest, Haiti really did play very well in this one. Unfortunately, once again, the situation is very simple. It just did not look good enough, and unfortunately, this is a situation where in this game it could have been maybe a little bit better. But once again, it's just everything came together and it kind of went a bit horrible for the U.S. But once again, the U.S., they get a result that they needed. The performance, again, did not match
and you know
the results. Mm-hmm.
You know what it really looks like is like we're playing down to the level of our competition.
It does.
Think about it. When we played Honduras, we played to their level. When we played Haiti, we played at their level. It looks like we're playing, but as an equal to whoever we're playing. And you don't win like that. You know, we need to have the Germany mentality, which is crush everything, don't worry about mercy.
Yep, absolutely. I don't think they were giving any mercy, but I understand what you're saying.
But you know what I mean.
I do.
The whole scenario that we're in right now where it's like, you know, if we're going to ever become an official soccer power, the mentality that we're a soccer power needs to set it. You know, if our players don't believe it, there's no way for us to, you know, physically ever let it happen.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you there, Jake.
Our players need to think and agree with the statement that, you know, we are the best team in CONCACAF. And if they don't believe that, they're not going to play like it.
That's very, very true, and we'll see what happens in that final group stage game. Obviously, against Panama, they don't have to worry too much about it. They have a four-point lead after two games over Panama, who have two draws, obviously, for 2 points. So the U.S. can afford to give Guzan a break and Dempsey and others a break, and let's see what the reserves will do in that final group stage match over at Sporting Park at Sporting Kansas City. Here's some of the statistics here, Jake. 15-5 on shots for Haiti. 15 shots for Haiti, 5 for the U.S. Of course, one goal, which is the one only shot on target. 3 were off target. You've got Haiti. Here you go with no goals. 4 shots on target, 10 off target, 1 off the crossbar. So obviously you know where that's going.
That's horrendous.
That is horrendous. 3 bookings for Haiti, none for the U.S. No one got sent off. Possession 55-45 in favor of the United States, so that's okay. 14-13 fouls in favor of Haiti. Both sides were off 4 times. 3 corner kicks for each side. 360 correct passes for the U.S. out of 245 for Haiti, even though that doesn't really matter. Overall, 437 passes for the U.S., 313 for Haiti. The accuracy, 82% in favor for the U.S., 78% in favor for Haiti. And other than that, that's it. Tonight's referee was Ricardo Montero. I have to say, though, I thought the last 5 minutes of the first half, including stoppage time in the first half, this referee just made these weird calls. He doesn't communicate well with the players. He doesn't communicate well with the fans. And when you thought there was going to be a foul called, he allows play to continue, and there's no signal, there's no motion. So, I mean, what is he doing, this Costa Rican referee, after the last 5 minutes?
Welcome to CONCACAF. Welcome to CONCACAF. Here's your one-way ticket to horrible officiating, Dan.
Yep. It really is.
You know, the best. And then I have a question for you. But Alexi Lawless, as my friend is insisting I tell you, summed it up pretty good during the halftime match, which is just everybody looked uncomfortable. The fans, the ref, the players. It was just uncomfortable to watch this game. It didn't feel natural, and it was a mess.
Yeah, I'll agree. I definitely agree. That's why you didn't see them standing up for very long. They all sat down because they were nervous. They didn't know what to do. I mean, obviously, it's the hardcore U.S. fans that were in the fort. They were still chanting hard. But this is a situation where, while it was a great night for soccer in Massachusetts, and I almost said Maryland, sorry. I'm already thinking about the quarterfinals.
And I'll be at that game, by the way.
And bet you will.
I bought tickets for that. So
there you go. Good for you. And you know, all I can say is that it's a situation once again where you're getting a bit nervous. Were they going to make the quarterfinal? Are they going to make the quarterfinal? They already officially made the quarterfinal, so it's not that bad. But still, you're hoping to see a better performance. Not so much in the last group stage game, but you're hoping for a better performance in the quarterfinal, depending on which third-place team they're going to face. They will either face a third-place team from either Group B or a third-place team out of Group C, and that game will start at 5 o'clock on Fox National. If you're in the New York City area, tri-state of New York City, it's Channel 5, or check your local listings for the time and the channel where you are for Fox National. So,
in the D.C. area, that's Channel 5.
It's Channel 5 in the D.C. area as well? Good. That's good to hear. So New York and D.C. are Channel 5 for Fox National. So, but once again, guys, if you're feeling nervous, if you're feeling concerned, obviously you have every right to do so. But at the same time, there is a positive out of all this, unfortunately. That's a silver lining. They have answered to the quarterfinals. They win Group A. It's a four-point lead over Panama, who currently are in second place in the Group A, with, of course, scoring two and allowing two. Haiti's right now in third place at the moment Honduras has 1.2, but the thing is that Haiti has allowed one goal fewer than Honduras. They've scored one, allowed two. So it's a minus one on the differential. Honduras has scored two but allowed three.
Oh, my God. You know, this whole tournament, honestly, I think we need to revamp the whole structure. We need to make this tournament more entertaining to watch, as horrible as that sounds. Because, let's be honest here, the fact of the matter is, right now, the group stage is pretty much irrelevant because you know the U.S., Mexico, and Costa Rica – barring a miracle, are going to advance, you know? As with any major tournament, usually the group stage, you know, the real tournament doesn't start until the knockout stage. Somehow, by some act of whatever deity you believe it, the U.S. has advanced to the quarterfinals, despite playing horribly through two games. But I want to leave you with this question, Dan, because then I have to run. How much of this do you think is because of the roster selection? You know, you look at the games in Germany and Holland, this is not that roster.
Well, to be truthful, those are just friendlies. And the idea is to advance. Those are the types of games that you're trying to prepare yourselves for World Cup qualifying. Those are the big-time games. I mean, not saying CONCACAF Gold Cup is not a big-time game, but the truth of the matter is that you know, these World Cup qualifiers, this is where they test your mettle big time here. And the thing is that at the moment, even though they are taking advantage of the Gold Cup, the quality of opponents right now in this confederation, it's either Mexico or Costa Rica. Jamaica seems to be looking decently. Costa Rica, at the moment, they're questioning about, you know, like you said, you know, where's Costa Rica all of a sudden when you're taking on Jamaica, Costa Rica probably should have gotten more than two goals. They probably should have gotten the full 3 points.
They shouldn't
points
have
and,
allowed to.
They shouldn't have allowed to. But sometimes, I mean, look, you got quality players on Jamaica. And you know what it is? You know, some of these Costa Rican players, like Alvaro Saborio, he's playing for Real Salt Lake. You got Kemar Lawrence in Jamaica. He's playing for the Red Bulls. You've got other players that are also playing in Europe or in Mexico or in Central America as well, even in South America. And these teams, you know, they're trying to find these top-notch players that are playing abroad or bring them abroad. And, you know, this is why they're over for their national teams. So that's the only reason why. I mean, once again, these are just friendlies. You're trying to test out some of these players that are playing in the Bundesliga, that are playing in England, that are playing in the Scandinavian leagues. I mean, that's – and, of course, you're just trying everything. That's
all right,
the reason.
I want to thank you for having me.
No problem.
I appreciate it. And we advanced.
And we advanced. Hopefully we'll have you on Monday again, and we'll talk about this. And we'll talk about Monday's game.
Yeah, no, I'll be here, although I imagine it'll be pretty much the exact same story of, yeah, we won, but we looked horrible. I feel like that's going to be the story of this tournament, unfortunately.
It could be, but don't forget, though. Once you get to the knockout stage, then we'll see what happens in the quarters and the semis. So thanks a lot, Jake, and I'll talk to you soon. All right, that's Jake Dudinsky here as he helps out with this Gold Cup review show, this post-game show. Once again, the United States defeating a very, very tough Haiti side. Tons of athleticism, tons of skill. Maybe the quality is not there yet for Haiti. But once again, ladies and gentlemen, it's a situation where, got to give Haiti credit. They came out strong once again. The United States came out flat. It had to be a Giassi Zardes substitution to take out Jozy Altidore and to push forward and to get this team going as the USA are once again, they advance on a positive result, but I would say the performance was a little bit better because of this halftime substitution, because the second half looked a lot better than what they showed in the first half. And who knows? I mean, okay, fine. A little bit slow against Honduras, even though you got that first goal in the first half, and then that second goal came in the second half, both by Clint Dempsey, and currently Clint Dempsey leading the U.S. with goals with three. Two against Honduras in the first match, and, of course, this other one that they scored in the beginning of the second half to make it 1-0, three goals for Giassi Zardes. And you got to say that right now, the USA, they do advance comfortably in a certain way. Obviously, you know, from our eyes and probably your perspectives as well, it doesn't seem to be comfortable enough because right now the United States, yes, they win the group. They advance to the quarterfinals. They will await their opponents either from third place finishers in Group B or third place finishers from Group C. Now, obviously, it's early. It's early right now to review the other two groups because everyone has already played once, except for obviously Group A that have played two games already today. So at the moment, Group B is a toss-up because you've got Costa Rica and Jamaica with a point after their match, and that was the match that was goal fest 2-2, obviously. Canada and El Salvador, they finished with a 0-0 draw, so they also have a point. So at the moment, what you can say is this, is that with the Gold Cup in Group B right now, and we'll see what happens between Jamaica and Canada. Canada right now, they need at least a point to survive. They at least need a point to survive, and then we'll see what Costa Rica will do against El Salvador. But even if Costa Rica takes out El Salvador, Canada still needs a point in this, and you know this could be a funny, funny Gold Cup if all of a sudden we're not getting, I guess, what some would say enough quality out of this Gold Cup. But let's just be fair and let's be honest. Maybe it's CONCACAF finally turning a page and being the tough confederation that some of us have been hoping for. Because it's not just, oh, it's the U.S. and Mexico and maybe Costa Rica and maybe Jamaica and maybe Trinidad and Tobago. Now we're maybe seeing this confederation growing up and getting bigger and better. And once again, with the schedule out now, tomorrow night, if you're going to watch it on Fox Sports 2, Jamaica versus Canada at 6:30 Saturday night on July the 11th, and then Costa Rica taking on El Salvador at 9 o'clock Eastern on Fox Sports 2 as well. And then on Sunday, July the 12th, Trinidad and Tobago takes on Cuba at 6:30 p.m. Eastern on Fox Sports 2 at 9 o'clock at night. Guatemala will take on Mexico also on Fox Sports 2. You can also watch the games on the Univision Deportes channel, and the Univision channel, Spanish language, Unimas as well, Univision Deportes. So it should be very interesting to see what's going to happen. And then, of course, right now, we'll see what happens between Haiti and Honduras. If you're going to hope to get that best third-place finish, maybe Haiti pulls a rabbit out of their hat. We'll see what happens. But if Haiti or Honduras gets a real good result here and the USA does something against Panama by maybe winning or drawing, well, here's the thing. If Panama draws, they'll take second place. That's the truth. The United States wins. Depending on what the result will be between Haiti and Honduras for the third-place finish, we'll see what happens there. Mexico, of course, destroying Cuba 6-0. And then again, of course, Vegas odds are up depending on who defects during this Gold Cup tournament. Because once again, every time Cuba qualifies, it's always questions of how many players are going to lose due to defection. So we'll see what happens. But once again, great result for Trinidad and Tobago against Guatemala in the Gold Cup, 3-1 Trinidad, and Stephen Hart right now, the Canadian running Trinidad and Tobago. Who knows? Maybe Stephen Hart is the manager for the national team down there to see what's going to happen. Not just in this Gold Cup, but let's not forget World Cup qualifying will begin for Trinidad and Tobago at the same time as the U.S. and Mexico will in late November as the semifinal round will start a lot earlier. But let's not forget July 25th, Saturday morning, live from St. Petersburg in Russia, it will be the FIFA 2018 World Cup preliminary draw. We're going to see which groups in the semifinals, whoever's ranked 1 through 3 in the top spot, ranked 4 through 6 in the second spot, and then we're going to see who's going to face whom in that third round of goal aggregate qualifying and who will enter slots 3 and 4 in semifinal round groups A, B, and C. It should be interesting. It should be a lot of fun. I cannot wait to see this happen. And once again, this is what you hope for in CONCACAF, that it does get better. It does grow up. And, of course, don't forget, I'll be probably bringing back on Nathan Carr from the home of CaribbeanFootball.com, and I'll probably bring over some other people as well to preview or review some of these World Cup qualifiers going forward. And it's just going to be a lot of fun. I cannot wait to see what's going to happen here. But once again, ladies and gentlemen, it's another Clint Dempsey goal in the 46th minute. Great cross from Jossie Zardes to give Clint that third goal. It looks like he has moved on from the ref gate, of course, that he got tagged for 3 games in league play. He got an additional 6 games tagged on in open cup play, meaning he will not be available for the Sounders in the 2015 as well as the 2016 U.S. Open Cup play, depending on what's going to happen there, if they're going to advance deep into the 2015 tournament, but 2016 tournament and 2017 tournaments, that's my fault. But once again, there are questions. There are more questions than answers right now with this U.S. national team in group play. Once again, a 2-1 victory over Honduras, a very, very marginal 1-0 victory over Haiti. But now we're going to see what's going to happen with Panama. Panama needs that second-place finish. They need it desperately. We don't know what's going to happen until we're going to see what's going to happen on Monday night, July the 13th, as Panama will take on the United States at 9:30 p.m. Eastern. Earlier, Haiti will take on Honduras over at Sporting Park at Kansas City, Kansas, the home of Sporting Kansas City of Major League Soccer. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, it's just been a very interesting Gold Cup, because while Mexico did put out a whooping on Cuba, the truth of the matter is that Cuba, while they always seem to play hard and physical, once again, the quality is not there. And I think with the Cuban situation, they want to try, shall we say, get their chances off the island and defect to the United States to get those opportunities. Obviously, we know baseball players have done that in the past. A couple of soccer players have done that in the past. And all I can say is, that it's going to be interesting to see how and why and these things are going to happen. So, but once again, the United States, they did what they had to do. Maybe it wasn't pretty. Maybe it wasn't fantastic. Once again, though, they get the result, but the performance was very, very questionable. And hopefully Jurgen Klinsmann is going to fix these situations. And all I can say is this, is that once again, like I said, I'm not saying no one in Boston deserves the national team. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that Robert Kraft needs to tear up the field turf. And I don't care what anyone says. I mean, I'm sorry. You got to tear up the field turf, and you're going to have to put in a real grass field once again. Or maybe it's time that either Robert Kraft or maybe the owners of the Boston Red Sox, who are part owners in Liverpool over in England, maybe it's time to build that soccer stadium in Boston. Maybe it is time to build a brand-new soccer stadium somewhere between Foxborough and Boston, because right now that was a travesty, because the way that they put in the grass over the field turf. I think it's time. I know my friends in Boston, I know New England Soccer Today guys, Hank Alexandre, of course, you know, they're going to be hoping it's going to happen. I think it's time that Boston grew up, and it's time for Boston to go out there and start building that soccer stadium. Because they're next. Because we can't have it what's going on over at Gillette. I think in Seattle, obviously, they do it much better. Portland does it much better. I think it's a different type of field turf. But once again, just the way it looked in Gillette, it just did not look good. It just really, really did not look good at Gillette. And I really hope the situation will improve, because I think it's time for Boston to get a real soccer stadium that everyone can feel comfortable with. Now, don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, it'll be an interesting week here. Let's not forget, this coming Monday, we'll have an abbreviated 40 Scenes Fire show. I have to set up the time for that yet, but we will. And on Monday night, there will be post-game, once again, in the final group stage game of the quarterfinal of the CONCACAF Gold Cup Group A between the U.S. and Panama. Now, join me on Tuesday night, July the 14th, on Rabble.tv, Rabble.tv. I will be joined by former Fox Soccer analyst Gary Richards, Gary Gazza Richards, as we will call the quarterfinal match of the 2015 Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup between Real Salt Lake and the Los Angeles Galaxy. That will be at Rio Tinto Stadium in Sandy, Utah, just outside of Salt Lake City. We'll be calling that match on Rabble. Join us for that at 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Pacific. And then we'll just go ahead and we'll wait for the quarterfinals. So we'll see what happens then. And we hope to have you guys listening once again. And thank you very much, as always, to listen to these Gold Cup postgame shows, another special edition of the 40 Scenes Fire American Soccer Show. Thank you for listening. I'm your host, Daniel 40 Scenes, and I want to thank again Jake Dudinsky and Carter Schneider from World Soccer Talk. Once again, my name is Daniel 40 Scenes, and we'll talk to you on Monday. As always, enjoy your football, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye for now.